Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, I'm Katrina Blankenship, your host of Community Radio. Along with many special guests, we look into the strengths and weaknesses of local communities. Did you know that the strength of a community comes from the strength of its people? This radio broadcast is a grassroots project to build communities one person at a time. This Katrina has been through a hurricane myself. Through my journey, I continually meet people who are just like me, and I want to share our lives and our experiences with you. We're all learning on this journey. And why not learn from one another and help encourage and build one another to build a strong community? Listen right here every Thursday evening at 8 p.m. on Katrina.com. You'll be inspired. If you'd like to give us a call during the show, our number is 1-877-598-8549. That's 877-598-8549. Join in with us through Facebook or through our online chat here. Now, it's time for Community Radio. Welcome to Community Radio, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight's Thursday night, March the 26th, 2015. I tell you, spring is, I think, on the way. It was beautiful here in Central Virginia today, almost 70 degrees, 75 degrees. I tell you one thing, it sure was beautiful. And I think a lot of people are very ready for it. There's been a lot of sicknesses and illnesses from people all over the place. We've heard a lot of reports from Ohio, Indiana, California. People are infected with the flu bug on many levels. So our thoughts and prayers go out to so many people who are facing this, and hopefully we'll get some warm weather here soon, and everybody can get out and about and enjoy the pretty weather. Tonight, without further ado, we're going to go right to our guest, because one of our guests only has a short amount of time to be with us tonight, and I want to give him all the opportunity he can to tell his side of what is going on with our Christian liberties and our religious freedoms. And we want to talk a little bit tonight about a situation that happened in Central Virginia and what's gone on in the local public schools and what so many people throughout America seem to continue to face. People are offended. People want to acknowledge all types of religion. They do not want to acknowledge God, though. They don't want to acknowledge that God is our creator. God is the one who died, sent his son to die on the cross for the sins of every person in this world. And even though America has been known as a Christian nation for so long, it seems like our Christian religious freedoms are being sacrificed. They're being forced to be taken away. Everywhere you turn, you see instances where people can't pray in a certain location. They can't raise a Christian flag. They can't have prayer in schools. You can't mention God. You can't mention anything that has to do with God or creation in any facet of government these days. But yet, our Constitution was written to hope to preserve those religious freedoms that we have. So without further talking about the subject, I am going to get Mr. Chris Smith on the phone with us tonight. And we also have Mr. John Tuttle on with us from our local community here. And they're going to tell you a little bit about a situation that happened here. Chris, do I have you with us tonight?
Yes, ma'am. And it's a great and honored pleasure to be here on your station.
We appreciate you being with us. And Mr. Tuttle, do I have you on with us?
I believe so. I'm here, and again, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you both very much. Chris, I'm going to let you take the microphone in the beginning since your time is kind of short. Tell us a little bit about the situation here in our local community and how the Christian freedoms have been taken advantage of? Let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, I don't think it's any. How would you say this? I don't think it's any veiled. Veiled action of what's going on in this country as to why everything is in chaos. I mean, it obviously it talks about this in the Bible, and once again, I can go on for hours talking about this, but to get down to the point is this is happening all across the country. Anytime where Christmas comes around, you ever notice the ads? When I was a little kid 20 years ago, and I'm only 28 years old, you would always see Merry Christmas. Oh, hey, Merry Christmas. Now, some people would get fired in some parts of this nation just by saying Merry Christmas. I mean, the teachers in the schools, I mean, whether they hold Christmas parties or say Merry Christmas, the school boards, they're not allowed to say it. I mean, supposedly not allowed to say it because they might offend somebody. Mm-hmm. Well, I've got one thing to say to that, of many that I should be saying, and that's, I don't care if you're in Texas listening to this, if you're in Powhatan, Goochland, or Connecticut, stand up. This is a message for Christians, because and this can be taken to anybody, even non-Christians, but especially Christians that know the truth and have the Holy Spirit working in them, stop quenching the Holy Spirit. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and verse 13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot by men." That's exactly what's happening. People want to know why we have these problems and why our liberties are being attacked and why the Constitution's being trampled on, why there's chaos and anarchy in some parts of this country like Ferguson. It's because they don't have Christ. And the people that do have Christ aren't standing up and they're not being salt and light of the world. So guess what's happening? We're seeing the effect of the cause that has been slowly diminishing over since, in my opinion, since the 60s of not standing up as a church and speaking out and being salt and light of the world. That's why we're being trampled on. This is the cause. This isn't the effect. I don't care if you're a janitor. I don't care if you're a lawyer. I don't care if you work at Advanced Auto Parts like I do. You think, and here's the one thing that I hear a lot from the people that I talk to. My one voice does not make a difference. That is a flat-out lazy lie. Stand up and make your voice heard, because it does matter. I've already seen where it's affected hundreds of people, just my voice. And I don't mean to brag. I don't mean to boast, because I don't do that. But to show you and to inspire you, to motivate you, and to get you off the pew benches that this church seems to only be doing is to warm in the pew benches. Get up and make your voice known. It does make a difference. It does matter. Your one vote does matter. If we all have this mentality, like hundreds of people that I've talked to my vote ain't going to matter. I ain't going to vote. That guy ain't going to win anyways. Mm-hmm. So you're not even going to put in the fight. It's not up to you in the long run. It's up to God. It's all in God's plans. It's all in his hands. And a lot of people, I'm too busy with my life. I'm too busy with work and all this and this other stuff. And a lot of people... I can see a lot of people, the reason why their reasoning of not standing up, is because they're not being the light of the world, so then they're convicted that if they do something, that they're a hypocrite, because they're not living every single day according to what Christ demands. Right. And then once again, to the church. And
right.
Go ahead.
Well, I want to ask you because I don't want to lose you. I know you've got to go here shortly because you're on your break at work, and I want to talk to you because you were the one that spearheaded this project in our local community. Tell us a little bit about what happened and how were there teachers that got reprimanded for saying Merry Christmas? What happened in our local schools? Tell me a little bit about on the signs, and they weren't allowed to put Merry Christmas out on the signs. Explain to people what happened.
I wish I had all the details in front of me because I don't want to say something that might not be truthful because I have a real bad memory and I have everything jotted down. I take notes and I have a recorder to talk to myself in because I have a real bad memory. But I will tell you the things that I do know and that I have witnessed firsthand, as well as a worker inside the school system that, all right, one of the meetings was, I believe it was Dr. Jones, one of the school board supervisors, that had said that they had sent emails, that they had sent messages out to the teachers saying that they could say Merry Christmas and hold Christmas parties. They wanted to hold Jewish parties, that's fine. If they wanted to hold Hanukkah, you know, whatever it was. And the worker that I had talked to, it talks to everybody in that, not everybody, but most of the people in there. I mean, she's real active in talking and getting along with people and staying with the school system and up to date with the things. And she said they never received anything. She never received anything. And then, and I had asked about that, and I had gotten directly lied to in my face. Now, I can't say that if he knew that for sure or what he had on his plate is, I don't even know. But all I knew was that from my viewpoint, I was lied to, and my the person that inside the school system was lied to because it never even happened. And I haven't heard any more from that in the past couple of months, but I imagine she never, you know, received it at all. But
now,
so
one of the biggest, you know, challenges that school teachers are facing across the country, and it's not just locally, that they are not allowed or could possibly get reprimanded if they say Merry Christmas. They would prefer, and this is happening in our government and in businesses, they would prefer to say Happy Holidays or something else to acknowledge all kinds of. Now, you, and I want to talk about not necessarily the particulars about what happened, but how important it is for a community to come together and talk about issues, no matter where you live and where you're listening from tonight, that we're for people to come together and talk about these issues that are going on and then going to the meetings and making a stand. Now, you did that. You had a lot of people in the community backing you. You went out and you actually formed a petition. Tell us about that.
The last count that I had, we've gotten more, and I'm actually going through a trouble because
Can you hear me? I think I lost him. Well, I know they're working on the numbers there. Okay. I lost him. He'll probably call back in a minute. From what we were talking about, it seemed like they had gotten 300, 400, 500 different votes or different people to sign the petition. They went out, and a group of people in the community went out to the different churches and to the businesses and to just people in the community and said, do you think, and this was what it was on the petition, do you think it's okay to say Merry Christmas at Christmas time in our school systems? Do you have a problem with that? Would you be willing to support it so you can then take this to the school board? And what happened at that point was this group of people then came together to a school board meeting and say, we want to stand up for our Christian freedoms and our Christian beliefs, and we want to be able to speak before the board and to tell them all these people in the community have come together. And it does make a huge difference. I know when I was growing up, my daddy used to always warn us about being a Christian and being involved in politics and being involved to where that you could ruin your Christian testimony. And I, as a grown-up now, really understand what he meant, because we as Christians do have to stand our ground. We do need to talk about things that are going on. We do need to take a stand. There is sometimes when you probably should just back off and let, I hate to say it, but the devil's crowd do their own thing, because they're going to do their own thing anyway. But you've got to stand against the things that they're doing to take our freedoms away and our liberties away. The churches don't preach it anymore. They don't talk about it anymore. We have all these elections that are coming up, and people, and I'm not saying that the preacher should talk about one particular candidate or another or one particular issue that's going on at a local level to where that it takes away from God's Word and the worship and the teaching and the learning from God's Word, which is supposed to be what the church is all about. But when it starts to affect the home and it starts to affect the families, and it can very hugely impact a community, you do need to stand up and take a stand, and you do need to voice your opinion. And Chris Smith and a group of people in the community did make a huge impact. In fact, what they did it very respectfully, respectfully of the school board, respectfully of the teachers, all the administration. They didn't do it, you know, holding signs and picketing and standing on the street corner and getting the teachers all riled up and getting parents all riled up. They just said, this is what's going on, and we want to talk about it, and we want to make people aware. Sometimes making people aware is just as important. Now, we also have tonight Mr. John Tuttle on, and he's a local resident as well, and he wants to share with us a little bit about what the Constitution says about our freedoms, whether it's freedoms of gun rights or freedoms of speech or freedom of religion. He wants to talk a little bit about that and how his experience of working with the communities for years and also working through all of this with the simple thing of being able to say Merry Christmas in our school systems. Mr. Tuttle, I'm going to give you the mic now. I think I lost Chris there. I'm going to let you talk for a little bit.
Okay. Well, one thing, I'm a veteran, and I took an oath to defend the Constitution from domestic or foreign enemy. Right now, I do believe that we have the enemy getting closer and closer to being a domestic enemy, if not already so. I think a lot of this is being spurned by an enemy that will soon show itself in a physical form in America without the divine intervention of God and also his saints and his saved people to stand up and stand up for God and ask for him to come and interrupt and have divine intervention over some of these issues. I'll just read one scripture that I have always, it came to me basically with not in a scripture but in a thought, at a protest in D.C. against Obamacare, when supposedly only 75,000, but I think it's closer to 2.5 million showed up. But this would be 7 Chronicles 7:14, and I thought a lot about this scripture for the last few years. If my people, which are called by my name, and that's us, the Christians and the believers of God, shall humble themselves, in other words, be in direct servitude to the people and to God, and to allow God's voice and word to come into their heart, and know that without God they would be nothing. Humble themselves and seek and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Right.
Well, we have this onslaught against God right now, I believe, and if we don't stand, then we'll join. And we'll suddenly be joined into that force a little bit at a time. But if we go and read the Word of God and stand for the Word of God, it will go away, and God will help us. We have God on our side in this battle. That's one thing we need to remember. And it's not. And we've had different revivals. Some people call them great awakenings. Some people claim there's been 3 in America. Others mostly say there's only been 2. But these revivals were times like this, and it's and so even. Israel, if you only read the Bible, Old Testament, times when they got away from God, he lifted their hand in their protection and allowed their enemies to come in and take over and enslave them. And for long periods of time, and when they returned, he forgave them and shined his mercy and all of his fruits. They didn't need to worry about what to eat or live. Everything was abundant again. But one of the things we have going now that hadn't been stripped of us is the constitutional rights of students, teachers, and public schools to seasonal religious expression. Now, one of the things that was brought up that we would have to give equal time to other religions if we allow Christmas to be put on the marquee out front.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll read you from the Constitution. Another common misconception, this comes from the Alliance Defending Freedom that I got a hold of, that will sponsor people that have had their rights, or groups of people, or school teachers, or anyone that's had their constitutional rights taken away from them in some way, shape, or form, which we all have,
right.
Our constitutional rights. But another, it says publicly, one school member said that we had to do that. Now, everybody makes mistakes, and a lot of people don't do their homework and find out really what they need, what is the truth. Another common misconception is publicly is that it is only permissible to celebrate one religious holiday if equal time is allowed for all other religious holidays. But no court has ever held, for example, that celebrating Thanksgiving and Christmas as religious holidays requires recognition of all other religious holidays. The Supreme Court has explained that governmental action is not unconstitutional merely because it confers an indirect, remote, and incidental benefit to one faith or religion, or to all religions. Government recognition of a holiday which incidentally coincides with a religious holiday is not unconstitutional. Throughout our nation's history, United States presidents have uniquely recognized religious holidays such as Thanksgiving and Christmas. On December the 24th, 1944, President Franklin D. Roosevelt addressed the nation during a time of war. Here at home, we celebrate this Christmas day in our traditional American way because of its deep spiritual meaning to us, because the teachings of Christ are fundamental in our lives, and because we want our youngest generation to grow up knowing the significance of tradition and the story of coming of the immortal Prince of Peace and Goodwill, Jesus Christ. So that is, I've got all the numbers of the Supreme Court. They have a numerical system and that they use and a name of someone that's either challenged and won, or challenged and lost, or challenged and won in this case. This, for us, and we don't have to give equal time. It's Christmas, and that's all that needs to be done, is put down Christmas on the holidays. Well, one other thing I did is I did apply for a permit 3 days before, and it does have rules in our school system to apply for a permit for an individual to put his signs, Merry Christmas, or any other signs onto the property, school property, if they went through a nonprofit organization, which would have, if they would have replied back, I would have been my church. The church does not necessarily need to get into business of politics, but into the business of Jesus Christ. And so if we make leaders from bringing them up in our beliefs through Jesus Christ, we will create good leaders. And then if we if people vote in a biblical way, we don't have to point to any candidate. But if they do not follow it a biblical way, then we have an opportunity to choose another candidate. And that's all we need. Is all the church is asking is an option to choose. Everyone can choose anything they want, but we choose the Bible and Jesus Christ, God. So that's our freedom. We don't want it stepped on, and we pray that God's hand comes and intervene in America, and that's what we really should pray for, and the gospel will change even the worst critic of Jesus Christ. And so we should pray for our enemies and pray for our school board and pray for each and every one and give them the same grace that we have. But don't deny the truth of the of God and our Constitution and our fundamental rights. And that's the truth. But give grace to allow for mistakes, forgiveness, because we were forgiven by Jesus Christ ourselves, and we're not perfect either. But we can stand for truth first, and we can't let it go at the expense of grace. We've got to have truth first and then grace. And that's comes from Scripture in my words. But that's pretty much my input on it. I do think we need to take a stand till that sign says Merry Christmas as soon as possible. I think our Constitution will be behind us. I think that we have nothing to worry about to take a stand, but all to worry about if we don't. We will fail. We will go under until we are made to take a stand from persecution or from just can't take the evil anymore. But they are weak, and we are strong. We have God. We have the Constitution at this point. After the Constitution, we'll still have God. And that's what I believe in my own heart. That's my opinion. From the amount of time I've lived on Earth, I've grown that much to come to that opinion.
Well, I tell you one thing, Mr. Tuttle, you always have been an inspiration to me in this community, and you have so much wisdom to share. I know that through your years of being in the service, through your years of being a father and a husband and involved in the church and involved in the community, you have all of those years of experience. And as a Christian, you have so much wisdom to be able to share. And I think that it is so important, and I'm not saying you're an older man by any means at all, but I think it is so important for the older generations, and I'm saying older than me, to stay very focused. I know that everybody gets weak, gets tired of fighting it. And a lot of times the older people say, well, I'm not fighting anymore. I'm not going to meetings anymore. I'm not going to say anything. I'm too tired of fighting. They're not going to change anyway. But you have such a gift that has been given to you that you should share. And all of the adults and the people who are older than us younger people to share and to help the younger generations to be able to know how to fight these evils and fight these
things.
Well,
one of the tricks is, I thank you for that, Katrina. One of the tricks is they're trying to separate the generations, the old from the young.
Right.
That's a trick. That's the government. Satan's behind that movement. But there is a movement now. I've had four or five young people in that last, and once I recognized that, it was like God says, I'm going to send you some young ones. And now I see that there's a fire has been started amongst the young. And I believe that we're on the edge of revival. And the more people that will pray, the more people that will join in the revival fight, it will happen. And technology, you going through, you being such a great Christian yourself and using technology to reach these people, we have never had this opportunity in the history of the world. And there, we were threatened to have the internet controlled by the government, and it failed. It failed for 1 year. We have 1 year left for the possibility of them coming back and getting it 1 year from now.
Right.
We need to save as many souls and to revive the country as hard as we can to fight that, for fight that 1 year. I believe it will be a turning point in that year. I believe it could turn at any time, just like the turning point that Israel Prime Minister Bibi talked about. And you see what, how he came to the truth in his wonderful speech. You see how dynamic that was and how down to earth and how he didn't miss a lick. He was even compassionate to his enemies in that. See, he wanted to help them and does help them. He has hospitals in a Gaza Strip for the PLO. The PLO doesn't control their own government anymore. It's Hamas, a terrorist outfit, and they want to destroy Israel along with Iran.
I know. I heard something this evening when I was coming in from town. I had a radio station turned on AFR, American Family Radio, and I heard a report of some leaflets that had been dropped out of airplanes, and I don't even know, I just caught the end of it, but that I don't even know what country it was, but they were dropping out leaflets of a picture of a man in a grinder, a big meat grinder. And in the wording there, the verbiage is, you know, follow us, do what we say, or this is what you will end up being. And, you know, that seems so far away sometimes, but it is so close to home because that.
That's right.
Right? It is.
You know, we need to learn from. It's coming, and it's coming quicker than ever. We can't be scared. If fear, we overcome that fear, I promise bravery will come to every one of us, and it will come from God.
You're right. You're right, because God puts that peace in your heart that everything's going to be okay. But, you know, just like you said, we have so many souls to win and so many people to educate. We can't quit on that because all of these people are waiting. And they don't even know what they're waiting for. They're seeking and they're searching, and they really don't even know. They don't even know.
We've got to tell them what it is through the Bible.
You're right. Don't leave me for a second, Mr. Tuttle. We've got a person on the air, and I'm thinking that they might have a question for you.
Oh.
Hi, this is Community Radio. Welcome to Community Radio. How are you doing this evening? Do we have someone on the air that would like to?
I'm still here, Katrina. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's okay. Hang on. I think the other person, there's another person that called in. Did you have a question for Mr. Tuttle or a comment for the show? No, I guess not. Okay, that's fine. They're just listening in. My control panel changed a little bit, and I can't always tell if people have a question or want to say something or they just want to listen in. And for those of you that are listening, please make sure that you tell all your friends and neighbors that if they want to listen to the show at any time and they don't have internet access. A lot of older people like to listen to the show, don't have internet access or high-speed internet, and they want to listen. They can call in to the number 1-877-598-8549. That's 877-598-8549. They can listen in any time. I just don't always know when somebody wants to talk to me. So they changed my board a little bit, and the screen doesn't really tell me, so I have to work on that. But just want you to also know that the show is archived just a few minutes after we broadcast. So when we end the episode tonight, give it about 10 or 15 minutes, and the show is archived. You can go back to the same link if you listen to us online, and you can download that. You can burn it to a CD, listen to it in the car, pass it to a friend or neighbor, and you can also share it with all of your friends. It is archived, and it does stay indefinitely. We never take any of the shows offline, so you can always go back and listen to old shows. And we always have the, in the comments section, we always have a list of what we talk about and who we have as guests. So I didn't want to interrupt you, Mr. Tuttle. I I was wondering if
a person was
out there and maybe had a question for you. Well, I want to ask you, before I leave you tonight, I want to ask you, what is the next step with a community such as ours who needs to work on this with their school board? Is there something, I know y'all still have the petitions going around, will you take them back to the school board, you know, later on in the year, or speak again to them? What is the plan?
Well, we're developing that plan now.
Okay.
We're taking our time and patience, and we'd like to hear from the school board more and more. We'd like to meet with them in any way, shape, or form. The regular meetings are a little too formal and too captive, really. I mean, you really can't get the feel of each other in that. But there's still opportunity there. And I think if we as a community go there and see that, well, first you got to realize how important this is, that we do follow up on our school board, our board of supervisors, and hold them accountable to our children is the most precious things that we have, our grandchildren, our children. And for us, it's a very critical time that we can't just let mom and dad take care of that. We got to go down there with whatever knowledge or wisdom we may have, some of our older people, and then the young people that are on fire to get that their children have a great opportunity to live fulfilling lives in a very good environment. And I think that environment is Christians can help create that environment and good people. I mean, the ethics, all good things come from God. God comes in and the ring of truth comes in to even this Satan. Even people are not saved, even people of different denominations. But what he's trying to do is separate us, divide us mm-hmm. so he can conquer us. And we need to respect each other more and more. But these special agenda things that goes on, they need to become more transparent, and I know you're on top of that. Most people are in a fast lane, or they're in have to go out and eat, work to put food on the table and clothes on their kids, at least, and they don't have time for that. The government has made us almost like slaves because of that. But people like you and the retired people and some of the people that just young people that just do it when they're bone tired. It's a sacrifice, and we just got to keep sacrificing that much, because whenever there's opportunity for our children, there's going to be opposition. We got to fight that opposition.
Well, I want to talk about. Go ahead. Sorry. No, go ahead.
I'm finished.
I want to talk about sacrifice for a second, because I don't want to tell your personal story, but you're also suffering with cancer right now, and you have been on how many chemo treatments have you had?
I've had a reoccurrence, and now I've had six of those really hardcore in the beginning. Caught it early this time, and it was a mild lymphoma, same thing. And now I've finished, there'd be 12 treatments totally. I've been doing it for a period of 4 years, been fighting
cancer.
Bless
your heart. And you are, even though I have seen you go to meetings on the way home from a chemo treatment and so sick that you could barely hold your head up in a meeting, but you still go. That is sacrifice.
I find it's real great strength. Like I say, it's amazing to me the amount of strength and bravery I have once I started living for Christ and for
Bless
and to heart. Help and he is a practical strength that we can't see, but faith, it's just amazing. One, if you open your spiritual eyes, you will start seeing it more and more, and he will give you great strength and bravery to do the things that he created you to do here, to bring glory to him, and it'll bring a wonderful life to you. no matter how long it is, and you have the eternal promise that you'll be with Him in a place of bliss. Not that we do count on that, but we're here now. And we got a short period of time to make our lives count for something, and you know, how far will you go? Well, just keep going and you'll find out.
And he gives you that extra strength, doesn't he?
He does. And it's a wonderful adventure, really. It's like
I think we have the greatest adventure of the world.
I think
we have another guest. All right. Someone here on the line. Did you want to talk for a minute on the show? Okay, guess not. That's okay. I just want to make sure that people are listening in. That's fine. Just keep on listening. Don't hang up if I jump over. Just want to make sure people don't have a question or something that they would like to say. You know, we as people in the communities, I know you and I have had this conversation many times, and I know that we've all continued to talk about this over and over again about transparency. That word has now been used so much in our local and federal governments. Now I think that word is kind of going in one ear and out the other, you know, with people. But we have to just keep uncovering what's going on and telling people what's going on. We can't keep it. And people cannot be fearful of their neighbors or the people on the board or people that control their paycheck. I know that's hard. When you take a stand financially, that is probably the hardest of all sometimes, because that hits you hard. When you have to say, no, I'm not working for this organization or this group, or I'm not going to let them take our money, you know, and I'm going to stick to it, and then you could possibly lose your job over it or for the stand that you take, and you know that you might be scratching for enough money to put food on the table. That is so hard. Curtis and I have been there so many times in our marriage. That is the hardest thing of all. What kind of advice can you give people about things like that?
I've went through that 4 or 5 times, and I was scared in the first few times. I worried. I said, "How's this going to work?" And over a period of time, as I sometimes trusted God, other times I didn't. But I had this, it seemed like I had this little thing of faith or someone talking to me said, I'm gonna give you something better or it's going to work out. And it did. And as I went through, I'd say 20, 30 years of them, actually from about 50 was some serious challenges, trials. They don't bother me anymore because I know God's with me, and I know He's going to give me something better than even I'm asking for. He's going to see me through that trial, provide for me what I want, and then in the end, He's going to give me peace, some way or another. And most of the time, in my since I was an independent contractor, He always gave me a period of rest when I needed it, and money, and just financial stability, and then I would have that again, and it wouldn't bother me anymore. Now it doesn't bother me, the ups and downs. I try to stay close to the Lord. Paul talks about it in the valleys and on the mountains, and I've just gotten used to that over the years. But it was fearful at first, and the young will do that. Some of the young are braver than that, though. That was just me. But if stay in prayer, trust the Lord, and use your faith, and it will enrich your life. No matter where you go or where you end up at, keep the faith.
You're right.
And one of these days, we may have some super challenges. He's even going to, even in death, He will be with us. And I do believe that these people that are committing these suicides and death and so forth, I believe they're cheating themselves out of the most wonderful time that they'll probably ever have with God. and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is on their deathbed.
Well, I know. And, you know, it's really hard. I know you've been through so much. It's got to be hard for you to keep on, you know, and to also, when you don't feel good and when you, you know, feel the weakest of all, it seems like it's when you have so many projects that you need to stay focused on and so many people
well,
in the community.
Fighting for the Lord gives me the greatest strength I've ever had in my life.
Well, I tell you one thing, you sure have really taken on a huge project, too, with our community here and taking this on to get the school systems to stand for what they say they're going to do. You know, this is a huge, you know, some people may think, well, it's no big deal. Well, it is a big deal because when one, and I have seen this more and more meetings that I go to, I almost get tired of hearing it. When they get ready to make a decision about something, one of the supervisors or one of the school board members will say, well, how do they do it in Chesterfield? Or how do they do it in such and such a county? And what do they do? You know, and it really does, I get tired of hearing it, to be honest with you, because I feel like they should be able to make those decisions about the community that we're living in and don't care about what the other communities are doing. That doesn't matter. We don't have to always keep up with the Joneses, but that's another subject for another night. But,
no, but if we don't stand up, it will... The opposition will creep in.
You're
and,
right, and you
still,
know that'll
still our opportunity, and that's
right.
What's happening in Palatine. A lot of and most of the counties. I've been to some of the successful ones. They have a great amount of people that show in meetings that are involved in the community. That when they want to take money from us that goes to our children or whatever unnecessarily for and use it unwisely, we need to show up there and the other things. And then, you know, we need to hold these people accountable that we elect. When they don't do what we ask, what we elected and what they promised to do, they need to get rid of them.
Right, and this coming November is very important to a lot of communities, you know, from a local level, state level, the, you know, senators, the House of Delegates, you know, some states.
It's a big one.
It's huge. November is huge. And when you and I were talking earlier about should you continue to talk about these subjects now, here we are in March, November's a long ways away, well, you really do need to talk about these things now, because when people get ready to vote in November, they're going to be scrounging trying to figure out what's the truth.
Right.
And if they've already been educated and they already know and they know what to watch for and look for, then they already have an easy decision to make. But if they wait till the last minute, they're not always educated and they don't always know the truth of what's really going on any level. And it's our constitutional right to be able to vote and
to
clean house. And you and I both know that we're in the last days, and it could be tomorrow, it could be, you know, a year from now, it could be 10 years from now, we don't know. And but we can't quit. There's so much work to be done. That's why I tell you, when I get down, I get very depressed. I get depressed so quick, not depressed in a bad way where I have to go on medication.
I just cry.
My husband says, Katrina, it's going to be okay. I'm like, you don't understand. When I don't feel good or lots, like, really against me, I just lose it because I can't stay focused and I don't feel good enough to get my things done. And I feel like I have so much to do and I have so many people that I'm going to let down if I'm sick.
Well, I know Curtis has told you that divine intervention, that God has got it all under control.
Oh, I'm going to tell you. We have worn out spot in our bedroom by the bed. We've been on our knees many, many, many times. I cannot tell you how many times. And that's the wonderful thing,
that's
too.
That's
the
answer, Katrina, right there.
Right. Because sometimes when you don't even know what to say, you're just going there. You know,
that's
God
right.
takes it out from, you know, from there. I thought it was quite interesting. I'm going to read something that I got in the mail yesterday, and or I guess it was day before yesterday. One of my customers that I'm doing a website for had to send me a check, and I got it in the mail, like I think it was Friday or Saturday, and I knew it was a check that they were going to mail me, and it was, you know, a little envelope, and I thought it was just the check in the mail, not that the check wasn't important, but I knew it was going to be a couple of days before I went to the bank. And so I laid it on the corner of the kitchen counter, and so I hadn't had a chance to get my books all done and get to the bank and all, and so day before yesterday was one of those days when I really needed the Lord, probably more than I have in a very long time, and I was very burdened about quite a few things. And I just walked past the counter and picked up that envelope, went and got a knife and opened the envelope, and I really did it subconsciously. I really didn't even think about it because it really didn't matter at that moment. I was going to hand it to one of the children to take to my desk. And when I opened it, there was the check, and I opened the check, and in it was a track. Now, this customer of mine is a good friend of ours as well, and they're one of the sweetest Christian couples that I know, and it's just so encouraging to me. And, you know, I thought it was so amazing because, you know, we as Christians sometimes always give tracts to people that are not saved. You know, we are very, you know, particular about sending them. Well, this one she sent me, and I have to read it because it just touched me. Let me tell you, I went straight back to that place where I pray all the time, and I just thank the Lord for getting it. And I really was very tickled to get it. And this is what it says. It says, "The burden of anxiety. God begs of you, cast all your care on me, for I care for you." The Bible indicates that a Christian life is a life of conflict and warfare. God has never promised to remove our difficulties, but God has promised in the midst of trouble and of conflict a genuine peace, a sense of assurance and security that the worldly person never knows.
That's right. And that's
turn your eyes. And then the rest says, "Turn your eyes on Christ, worship him, he will never fall or fail." And then in it goes on to talk about the Sermon on the Mount, and there was two verses of Scripture that I'm going to tell you really touched me. And this is what it said. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, but what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:25-33. And I'm going to tell you, when I read this, it was at the perfect time when I needed it. And I was just, it just really did so much for me, because as I always tell people, I have a hard time sometimes asking God to do stuff for me, even though you seem to pray a lot, because I feel like there's so many other people that are so much more needy, and God has so many people to take care of. But sometimes we really need that, to just give it all to him, and he can guide us and give us the wisdom that we need, and the ability to stand.
It's such, you know, it's such a good, wise thing that God gave us that verse to help us in it, in those deep things. Even Jesus, God had him go to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' home to rest. He was human. He got tired like us while he was in man form. And that's one of the hardest things I learned is to, John, you're going to be pretty ineffective. And, you know, the battle is calling for such a great amount of energy and force from the Christians these days.
Right.
And it's just, sometimes I don't rest, and I know you don't also. And a lot of people out there in these battles, I mean, our supervisors, they're not resting. Some people that are not, that want great amount of money, they're not resting. They're battling God's people.
Right.
So what do? We stop? No, but God can take over and take hand and take over. It's a hard one to learn from me. But that peace is, we all need it. We need to stop and reflect it. And I'm guilty of that more than anybody, I'm sure.
Don't you think that some of the problems that we have in America is that, and I'm not talking just from a spiritual standpoint, I'm talking on every level of life. People have let the computer take away that social interaction, that time when you need to get together for a birthday party, or you need to get together and talk about an issue in your community, or you need to get together with other Christians and fellowship with them. That personal time of, you know, calling your neighbor to have supper with you, or families getting together and having supper. You know, they can't stop scrolling on their phone. The computers, you know, people would rather sit at home so they know what's going on Facebook or whatever. And look what it's doing and how it is troubling the people to where that there is no interaction anymore.
Yeah, I think that's a big problem. I'm sure that it takes away from facial expressions, eye contact.
Right.
Which I use quite a bit when I'm talking, and you do too, I'm sure. That's old, you know, it's getting to be old school now. But they're losing that, and then they're insulting each other and starting rumors that spread like wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know the results of those rumors, but a lot of suicides have been, you know, in children, young people, because of a terrible rumor that was not true, you know.
Mm.
Or even if it was true, it wasn't handled properly by parents or responsible people. And so we're getting that problem. But the real problem also is that once we get stuck on all of these, dependent on computers, I really think that America has let us down on a backup system, that we are too dependent on them without a, and because they're so fragile, a sunspot can take them out.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any control of the sun,
right?
Except praying to God, and I'm sure he's, you know, his hand has protected us from that. But if we continue not to address such issues as this, and just let them go, Satan will use this to devour more people. He goes around, and you can imagine going back to the cave, you know, we don't have enough food in our houses to feed us for a month, let alone a year or two, you know, most of them, people. And it would turn into an animalistic state. It's a fearful thing, but God is protecting America right now.
Right.
We got to start being responsible. The Christians are the most responsible organized group, or disorganized at this point.
We need to get together, don't we?
I know they're running around chasing their tail. But
we definitely need to stick together.
They are starting to awaken. And there are people that can't talk, right, don't know how to talk, but we can talk to each other.
Right.
And the computer are taking us away from even going to church now.
I know. It is so wrong. And we have a lot. We're just going to have to start going by and picking them up and dragging them down the road.
Yeah.
You're tired. I know you've had a long day today. Really appreciate your time on the air with us tonight and filling us in on, I know that we talked before about what all happened at the meetings there at Christmas time, but it's important to let people know what the follow-up is and how that if you're not going to let this this subject lie. You're going to continue to focus on it. And I appreciate your wisdom and your sacrifice and your strength that you continue to give to your people and your neighbors and your community. And thank you so much, and most of all for God and what you have done.
Hey, Katrina, one thing we can, you know, the computers and the websites and everything and Facebook can be used as a positive for God.
Right, right.
And that's our choice.
You're right.
We still have a choice to do
that. You're right,
and
we don't want to turn people away from using it at all, because we do have only about a year now that they have accepted all of these new rules
FAA
and
rulings.
Regulations. I know, the FCC rulings, now that they have done that, we're going to see those rules come down real quick on people and on websites that they're going to take down and block and not let people see. So we don't have much time.
Nope, and we still got the Supreme Court on our side, the Constitution. They haven't destroyed that completely yet.
Right.
So we can still speak. And then use the internet. Once they tell us that we can't talk about God, that it would be against the law, they'll go to the internet, and we won't be able to do it on there.
Right.
So it'll be
right.
But we need to keep. We can push that all back. We can push that back.
Well,
thank
in
you,
November,
for
November
your time
is important.
And work
well,
do.
Thank you. Thank you very much for being on the show with us tonight, and we're going to keep praying for you that God gives you the strength that you need, and you're going to be able to bounce back. And,
thank you, sister.
You're welcome. You have a good evening, Mr. Tuttle. Thanks
all
a million.
Right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night. I tell you one thing. When you listen to someone like that, that has suffered through cancer two times at least, possibly on his third round, he goes for chemo treatments, and I have seen him come to a meeting to where that he couldn't even drive to a meeting, and someone brought him, and he has sat there and continued. He would get up at a meeting and say, it is y'all's obligation to do the right thing. It is y'all's obligation to not do things behind closed doors and to do what the people elected you for. And in the most respectful, kind-hearted way, has always stood his ground. And I'm sorry we lost Chris earlier. In fact, I got a message from Chris that his phone was cut off and he was not even able to call back. And so not quite sure what happened, but, you know, we do have to know that the opposition sometimes will help aid the phone lines being cut off at different times. And so, you know, we just have to keep on pressing forward and getting that story out there. Our local schools definitely need to be able to step up and allow Merry Christmas to be put on the signs, allow the teachers and the staff there to be able to say it and the students to be able to say it without the possibility of being reprimanded. And I don't know all the details of exactly what all happened, but I know that they're working towards getting it written in the laws, in the guidelines of the school systems, that there is no problem with that. If we don't as a community take that stand and we don't set that precedent, then other communities can very easily say, well, look what this county did. They don't want to offend anybody, so now we're going to adopt the same rules. And it does spread like wildfire very quickly. I want to thank you all for listening to the show tonight. Those of you that are listening on the East Coast, I'm sure that you're happy that we've had a light, very nice spring day today. But don't get too excited, because it sounds like we're going back into a deep freeze in the next day or so. But we want to definitely send out our prayers and our thoughts for the families who have been devastated by the tornadoes out in Oklahoma yesterday and last night, and what all they faced. I tell you, that's the bad thing about April, March, April, May. We have storms that, and they said that the storm that we got this morning was the same storm that came across Oklahoma yesterday afternoon. And I know many injuries, lots of damage, and I know that there was at least one fatality. So we want to pray and remember those families that have had to suffer through that, and definitely get prepared for those springtime storms, because the weather just seems to skyrocket. It goes down real low and then comes back up real high. And when the temperatures change like that and those winds change, you never know what to expect. So stay tuned for great shows for the community radio, of course, every Thursday night right here at 8 o'clock. And if you ever want to give us a call during the week, our number is 804-598-9301. Send us an email, katrina@katrina.com. We appreciate you listening to the show tonight, and may you have a very blessed and happy weekend ahead. We're excited. We have our 45th anniversary at church on Sunday, so we're looking forward to a great day there. It's hard to believe that my parents started our church 45 years ago. I was way far from being born at that point. I'm just kidding. I was a little baby, but it was just a wonderful thing, and we just appreciate all the people that we've been able to get to know and minister to, and the neighbors, and our church continues to be blessed on a daily basis. We are just so grateful for all of His blessings. So we're really looking forward to that this weekend, and I want to thank you for listening to the show and hope that you have a great time and great weekend with your family and your friends. May God bless each and every one of you. Until next time, I'm Katrina Blankenship, your host of Community Radio.
Take that away, and I'm proud.